home, away from home, and certain I call you family. You all are family to us, and I certainly appreciate Brother Ike over the years, and Brother Murphy. I've gotten to love him and your son and all, and y'all are inmates now, aren't you? Amen. Yes. And Brother White here, we certainly appreciate you all helping us out in the prison. 27 were saved yesterday, so praise the Lord for that. And Brother, that's all from watering, planting the seed, watering, and we saw the increase yesterday, so praise the Lord for that. And numbers are different now over to the main unit, and of course, you know, they remain the same over at the work camp. So it was more of a balance there. It was just about as many saved at the work camp as it was over the main unit, am I right? Some were been there, so 27 were saved, and praise the Lord for you all praying for us. Not only you're supporting us physically, but financially as well. And yesterday I had the inmates to say something. Remember that? What did I have them to say, Brother Murphy? That word thank you, remember? And I told them, I said, now listen, I get to you by local churches, and I mentioned you all about you all supporting us and et cetera. And I said, I want you all to say thank you, because there are people behind the scene that you know nothing of, but they see that I get to them. And so I told them that I would tell you all that. They said thank you, and they did. And so I always try to do that, because I don't want them to think that I'm coming in on my own accord, and I am, for the Lord sent me. But what I'm saying, I'm not with my own finance and all this thing. No, I want them to know that there are people that extends that love all the way to Christ. You understand that? Because God loved us, loved you, loved us, and we'll say we want them to have the same thing we got. And not only that, we was able to encourage a lot of Christians on the yard yesterday, wasn't it, Brother? I had a great time. I believe I had a better time than they did. I believe I had a better time than you did yesterday, Brother, as well. We all had a good time, didn't we? And what was so exciting yesterday were to see men with Bibles talking to other guys about the Bible. I'm speaking of inmates, not us. So that's the blessed part, you know. And here's the thing. I have guests, guys. You come to service, they didn't say, well, I'll think about it. Well, I don't know. Guys, I'll be there. Amen. I'll be there. And they were. So praise the Lord for that. I had a good turnout yesterday and a good week, really, last week there. And so we saw that many saved, and praise the Lord for that. You all pray for me, because this week I'll be leaving going to Ocala. That's the largest female facility that I've known. I've looked and searched over the web. I haven't seen that one facility as large as that facility down there. Now, with all together, there's about 5,000 female. 48-something. That's a lot of female in prison. And you all pray for me, okay? Because all I'm going to do is preach to them. Amen. And we got ladies, you know, that's going to witness to them, and ladies will be counseling with them, and et cetera. So you all pray for that situation there, okay? And then I'll be leaving there, and then I'll be headed up in Georgia, and then I'll be flying out to Rhode Island. There's a prison there in Rhode Island, a multiplex there with women and men there. That's not my territory, okay? So they're all northerners up there, and they may not understand me. I may not understand them. But anyway, we're going to preach to them, amen. And so I have a friend that lives in New Hampshire, so I'm flying into Boston, I'm sorry, but the prison's in Rhode Island, and I'll be preaching for him in New Hampshire, so I don't know whether people are going to understand me or not. I don't know. Y'all pray, okay? And there's unknown territories there, but just pray for us. And here, I think I sent a letter here in April. I was over in the West Indies. We witnessed 9 saved there and 22 out of the church revival there as well. We do have a guy from St. Lucia in our ministry, and he wanted to see his people saved and come to save knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. So I went down there to open up a prison for him to get him established, and got a man in there, a national, in that particular prison every Tuesday with a Bible study and et cetera. So we got that established. And I think next year I'm going over a little further over in the West Indies. There's a lot of islands up in there, and believe it or not, you can't just catch a boat and go across. You're like from one island, just fly from one island to the next island, that next island. And so you all pray for us. There's a lot going on. I'm not an international man, but I do try to get in all parts of the ministry that I'm asked to be involved in. But I tell you this, and I'm going to move on. When I was in the West Indies, I got to preaching, and the preacher came to me and said, hey, slow down, man, slow down. I was really talking too fast. You know, lots of people speak Creole and whatever. They didn't even speak English. They didn't understand nothing. And the man said, they don't know a word you're saying. So next night, a lady came up to me, sir, would you please slow down? I didn't hear nothing you said last night. So you have to adapt, you know, to every area. Now, you pray for me when I go to New Hampshire up there, because I'm going to have to adapt again. Okay? And so when you all pray for us, like I said, I certainly appreciate even the opportunity to be here. And, brother, I appreciate whoever gave me the Sunday school. Someone gave me Sunday school. I appreciate that as well, okay? And it's not that I come to try to preach and teach and do all the things. I need it as well, okay? I got some good preaching this week from you, Brother Brown, and Brother Ike preached Thursday night, and so we all got some help from the Word of God. Now this morning, I want to help you with some things. You're going to be turning some scriptures, but I promise you it's going to be in one book, okay? And I'll give you some things, some exercise, but it'll be in one book here. I want to ask a question this morning. How many of you, and not to trick you anything like that, will say you somewhat prioritized? Now, not to trick you. I mean, you got some of your things in order. You understand what I'm saying? I mean, otherwise, you know the important things to do versus the lesser things to do. You understand? I mean, my dad, man, he's with the Lord now, but he always would tell me about money. He said, son, money needs a boss. You know, some people just splurge money. I just pay all the, just spend all the bill money up and do everything. That's not a priority. That's a bad testimony. So he's talking about prioritizing things. You know, Christ is the preeminent one. Amen. First place. I mean, first in everything. Okay. And we didn't, you just quoted the scripture. I was about the quote, but you quoted. Okay. Help me. Thank you. Amen. But all I'm saying here is that I want us today, physically speaking, I believe everybody here, especially the grown-ups, we've been through some troubles and all. We've been through our trials and we've been through probably financial problems. Now we're at an age now we know how to handle money. We know how to pay our bills. We know how to keep things in the right priority. And I would say here today that we are, a lot of people here, which I should say majority of us are prioritized. Physically, you know, spiritually, well, not spiritually, but materially, you know, we know, I know not to go, if I got a house note, I know not to go buy a car, and I got a house note to pay, and I can't pay the car note, okay, I know that, okay, I have a 207 right now, and I know, listen, I know I got to get a few more miles on it, brother, before I can do something else. Otherwise, I do not go above my means. Yeah, I understand that. And then old Bush made a statement here, and nobody agreed with him. You know why the housing market went down, went and plundered on them. You know what he said? He said people bought houses beyond their means. Right. Nobody wanted to hear that, but that's what happened. That's how a lot of folk lost out, okay? You're making so much money, but then you're going to get something way beyond assumptions of assuming, but I get more money to pay for it, but you hadn't prioritized how you could. In other words, accountability. We fall in areas of accountability as to what God gives us. Now what reason why I'm saying that today, because today I want to help you, God has a spiritual priority list for us. And I'm here to tell you this morning, please, I'll be point blank with you. I'm just being honest with you. I don't want to preach it. I'm going to be point blank with you. Because I ain't right. And you ain't. When you see the priorities that God is going to put on us. And now notice now, you're going to hear it from the preeminent one. Not what someone else said, but I believe the whole Bible. I'm everything. I believe that. But in other words, what you're going to see today that's written in red. Just in case someone said, well, why did Jesus say that? Yes, he did.
Yeah. There you go. Amen.
And I'll be honest with you, I got it before you did. Because I prepared that. Oh, Lord, I fall short. But I'm going to help you today. In order for us to prioritize these things, God, he's going to give us some high standards.
Yes, sir.
And the high standards you cannot live, it has to be lived by the way of the Spirit of God. So he's going to teach us this morning how to depend on him.
Amen.
How does depend on the Spirit of truth? We have the Spirit of God living in us. Amen.
Right.
And so he want to teach you. Even in John, he talked about 14, 15, 16. He called him the Spirit of truth. Did he not? He didn't say he's going to help you with the truth. He got some truth now. Yeah, you know, there's time he may be off now. That ain't what he said. He said he is the Spirit of truth.
Amen.
Now he's trying to get that in the head of his disciples. Now notice these top notch men he's talking about.
Yep.
These men that followed him and traveled with him and saw him do miracles and all these things. And then at the end, when he got ready to leave the scene, boy, let not your heart be troubled.
Yes.
Huh? They was in trouble, wasn't it?
There was.
Huh? Christ was leaving the scene. He's trying to convince them that he's going to send the Spirit of God. They didn't believe that. No, Lord, you can't send another. You can't send nobody like you now. No, Lord. That's why you see three times in the scriptures. He's saying that to try to convince them because he was in unbelief. You understand? And he's telling them who he is. He's the Spirit of truth. He didn't say, now, wait now. He's going to be somewhat like me now. He's going to lead them righteous. Otherwise, he said, I have a paraclete. I lived the same. I'm sending to you. And I want to help you today. See, our, since we have these old double natures here, you understand what I'm saying? We have a problem to dependent and depending on the Spirit of God. And God, this message is going to put you in a position where you're going to have to depend on him or you'll be disobedient. Now, we're looking at some things. I know it's in Matthew here. And don't tell me what it was, old Testament. No, I'm telling you something. Now, you're going to see where you're talking to Pharisees. You're not a Pharisee, but the same principles are going to apply to us, okay, as we read today, okay? So let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you once again for this night, the day you've given us, Lord. Thank you so much for who you are and what you are to us. Father, help us. We're needy people. Lord, we're here because we are in need. And Father, I pray, Lord, that you'd help me get through this message in such a way, not to be condescending and anything like that, but a way that ensures our problems and help us get out of them. And Lord, help us to stay clean before you. Yes. Father, we do love you this morning. We do thank you so much for who you are. Yes. And Father, we give you all honor and glory for us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Yes. A lot of times we give up first place to secondary things, don't we? Yes. You ever notice somebody, even in an argument, argue about something ain't nothing versus versus things that are really important? They put more emphasis on the minor than the major. Y'all understand what I'm saying here? Now, sometimes we get things just out of place here. Now notice here now, and it's talking about a lost person, even talking about a saved person. The soul is more important than the body. Now you see a lost person, he's just as clean as he can be. He's going to take care of his body. Everything take place, boy, if anything, minor thing, he's going to the hospital, but he's forgetting about it, he got a soul. Yeah. So that's more important to him. When I want to say, guess what's more important, brother? My body than my soul. That's how we get priorities out of whack here. Now, he said, well, shall it profit a man if he what, gain the whole world and lose his own soul? You see that? Or what shall it give a man exchange for his soul? See that? A lot of times we look at moral strength is more important. It's far more important than what? Physical strength. Ephesians talk about that. Yeah. You see, so normally we work on the physical. I'm talking about us now. We work more on the physical than we do on the moral. Now, I want to help you with something here this morning. And we're going to look at, like I said, we're going to look at God's priorities list. And I want you to take your Bibles and turn to Matthew. We'll be in Matthew, okay? Matthew, okay, chapter 22. And we'll look at 36 through 39. And I want to show you some things here, how this lawyer is going to approach Christ. And he's going to ask him some questions here. And I want you, here's one thing, one word I want you to see as we look through the scriptures. Throughout all the scriptures, you're going to see one word I want you to see. And that word is first. Say first. First. And that is the number one priority. You're going to see this in the scriptures. Christ is going to say, first. 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 You're going to see this throughout the scriptures today, okay? So that's the priority list. First. Right. Now what comes before first? Nothing. Preeminent. First. Amen. Okay? He's not going to tell you to do anything before first. Right. Y'all get that now? Yeah. So when you see the word first, that means, hey, that's the priority. That precedes everything. Huh? Like the alphabet A. Well, tell me what letter come before A? Yeah. What come before one? Yeah. Now we can put zero, that's nothing. That's right. If you want to be smart with me, zero, nothing. Right. So nothing comes before it. So he wants you to see number one. He wants you to see an A. He wants you to see the highest priority. Do you understand? He wants you to see the word first. Yeah. Notice here what the lawyer asked him. Let me get there. In chapter 22. And let's look at 36 here. I may be paraphrasing a few things here because of the time, and I want to take you through all of the scriptures here. But let me just give you something that's to tell you, help me with the priorities here, okay? And I'm turning here. I have a new Bible, my old Bible. My daughter left my door open, and it rained, and it wet up my Bible. And I'm not going to tell you I didn't get hot, but I did. And so look what it says here in Matthew chapter 22, okay? And then let's look at verse 36, okay? Verse 36. Now notice what it says here in his Bible. It says, Master, let me back up to 35. Then one of them, which was a what? Lawyer. He shall now ask him a question, tempting him and saying, Master, which is the great commandment, okay, in the law? Jesus answered unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. How many of you agree with that? But notice what he says here in the next verse. This is what that word I was trying to tell you? First, say it loud. First and great commandment. Now he's telling them to love God all your heart, soul, and mind, everything. Hey, listen, this is the first priority.
Amen.
See that? Love him.
Yeah.
He said, this is first and great. Commandment. Now notice what he said about it. Now we don't have a problem with the first one. Now let me give you another verse. Notice what he said in the next verse. And the second is like unto what? Unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Now you don't mind me standing down. Now we don't have a problem with loving God all the time. He said, first you love me. Give me everything. Then he said, now the second is like unto the first. We've been in Sunday school, right? Loving God first. If we hate our brother, we don't love them, right? The light's not in us. You understand? He's talking about light and fellowship and whatever. So now he said, now I got to love God first and able to love you first. Now the first is what? That's before me. That's the answer. Like I said earlier, hey, we don't have a problem with us. We number one. But okay, so God said, you number one, now he's number one. You love him just like you love yourself. High standards. You can't meet it. Spirit of God has to bring. The Bible said the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us by the Spirit of God, by the Holy Spirit of God. So there's a gift that God has given you and enabled you to do the love that he's telling you to do.
Amen.
So we have to depend on the Spirit of God. It's a gift. Shed abroad in our hearts. A hope making not ashamed. That's what it said. Because the love of God is shed in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is his word, which is given unto us when you say. So the enablements are there. Now, I'm not going to rehash Sunday school this morning, okay? No, I am not. I'm trying not to anyway. But what I'm saying here, I know if we didn't go any further, I'd be on my knees right now. I can't live it. It has to be the Spirit of God that does it through me. Y'all understand? Because here, our mind, remember we talked this morning about God wants our mind. He wants you to think like he thinks. Do you understand?
Amen.
So I'm to go over and beyond when it comes to my neighbor.
Yes, sir.
No repercussions. Nothing looking back. Just giving all. First. This is the first and great commandment. Now the second one is likened unto the first. That we love our neighbor as, he didn't say, oh, almost now, come close to it. Well, you're coming close. You're almost getting there. He didn't say, now you work on this now. He said, the enablement is already there. I gave you the Spirit of God. It's a chair that brought in your heart. What you doing with it?
Yeah.
First. Y'all see the priority? First. He's going to give us something else here. Very familiar passage of scripture that we all know why we love. We love him because he first loved us. Now, let's go back to chapter 6. Everybody should know this verse. Okay, if not, study it out. Okay? Learn it. 6. I'm going to get chapter 6 here. We're going to try to stay in Matthew here. Till chapter 6. And look what it says here. Look at verse 33. Let's just go to 33. And we know all about the clothing and everything. But notice what he says. I want you to catch the word first. But seek ye. Help me with it. First. The kingdom of God and his righteousness, Then all these things shall be added unto you. Now, here's again, you know what he's telling you to do? He's talking about the first commandment, somebody loving neighbors. Now, he said, now, you seek me first. The kingdom of God and his righteousness, all my holiness. Okay? And then all these other things be added unto you. So what did he put first? Seek him first.
Amen. Amen.
Yes. Can I tell you something, my friend? I'm not here to come to sin, put you down, whatever. What he says, seek him first. He don't mean you get up in the morning, you drink your coffee, and you do all, and get ready to go to work, and then I'm open my Bible and I'm going to read. Oh, I'm going to pray. He don't mean late at night after the day is over with, then I'm going to come to him. Now, I'll say amen. That's a priority. We do everything that we want to do first, then we got a little time for him. Notice the priority now. Seek ye first. He didn't say second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth. First. That's a priority. Then he tells us something else. In Colossians, he's talking about this right now. Now, seek him first, the kingdom of God. Guess what? I'm going to seek him first. Here's the key. Now, let me help you something. Let's say I'm going to seek God first thing in the morning. You ready for that? I want to make sure I got everything right. I'm spiritual. If I want to be filled with the Spirit of God, get my heart right, get everything right, make sure everything before I leave the door. Preparation before I leave. Preparation is from him. Sometimes we get in such a big hurry, we got alarm clocks, don't we? Set those up. I'm going to get up and pray such and such time in the morning. Some of you, well, brother, I'll just pray to the end of the day. Well, your day is gone. You just lived in the flesh until you decide to pray. Until you decide to get in contact with God, you was all in the flesh. Because he said, seek him first.
Amen.
Now, notice what else he says. Let me give you something in Colossians. I said I wasn't going to go nowhere, but you don't have to turn there. I have it written down here. Now, notice what he says. You can turn it, turn there if you want to. In Colossians here, chapter 3, 1. When he said, if ye then be risen with Christ, other words, set apart, what does he tell us to do?
Seek
which what?
Above.
Okay? Which are above, which Christ seated what? On the right hand of God. Now notice what he said here now. Our position, listen to me carefully, our spiritual position, okay, is identified with our spiritual location, heaven.
Yeah.
So you seek heaven first. You come to me first now. Your citizenship is in heaven. He said, you seek me now, then your spiritual position ought to be where your spiritual location is.
Yeah.
That's where it's coming from. It's coming from him.
Yeah.
So anything, seek those things above, high standards, way up, not things, listen, below, but things are above, high, where he said it, on the right hand of the Father. He said, listen to me, Captain, no one can go past that.
Amen.
You're going straight to the preeminent one.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen. Good,
seek ye first.
Yeah.
The kingdom of God and his righteousness, that's where you're at headquarters now.
Amen.
Notice what he said, not things on earth. Set your affections.
Yeah.
Exercise your mind.
Yes.
You can't exercise it down here. You get yourself in trouble. You get in the flesh real quick.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Huh?
Amen.
And now, you haven't seen me in the flesh. You wait till I get home. You ask some of my children. That's the only way you're going to be a Christian at home, isn't it? Because they see the real you, don't they? Brother, I used to blame it on diabetes. That you can't, ain't no fault. They didn't bring it on nothing. I used to bring it on work and shift work, you know. Man, I come in graveyard, my pew, pew, pew. They going, oh man, dad got a bad attitude. Don't say nothing to that. Then you get up there and preach your children on the front seat. That ain't you, dad. So what I have to do, you know what I do, please, I'm not trying to have you to follow my pattern. I am not. I try my best. Get up, 4:30, 5 o'clock in the morning, nobody's around, then I get along with God. Now, chances are, if I get along with him that morning, brother, I'm going to do it the afternoon, and I'm going to do it and go to bed. But if I don't do it from the beginning, that's chances are I won't do it at all. You understand? And so he says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Guess what he's doing? There's separation there. You're set apart for his. I understand it positionally. Now, that's what I'm talking about here. Positionally, we are there. I understand that. But now he said, I need to practice this. Practice. If your heavenly home is there, and you know you're going there, and you know headquarters there, he said, you seek me now. That's where I'm at. And guess where he's at then? He sits on the right hand of God. He says, listen, I ain't nowhere to be found. Listen, you ain't got to look for me. I'm right here. I'm right here in my rightful place. Guess what? First. Y'all see that? We fall short, don't we? Now notice just seek ye the kingdom of God then, and his what? Righteousness. Now guess why I'm going up there? You ready for this? Boy, I want to live a holy life today. And I got to get it from headquarters. Y'all see that? That's where my spiritual location is. Y'all understand? Now the Spirit of God, he's here. I understand that. But guess what? There's a communication from here to there. Y'all see that? Please, I hope this helping you. First. Say it again. First. You know, hey, man, let me tell you something. I'm not saying this both. Well, it's amazing what's in this Bible, isn't it?
Amen.
I mean, we've been reading it for years. And God said, okay, I got a priority list for you, boy. And you fall way short. You haven't arrived. You ain't got there. Let me put my fingers down. My wife, she always critique me. I want to take your fingers out of folk's face. Don't be too. She always, honey, how'd I do? Keep your fingers out of folk's face. You know, I was in one inmate talking to me, you know, about, he said, hey man, I ain't used to somebody in my face. I said, okay. But I don't mean no harm, okay? I really don't, you know. So we see that's what he wants to do here. And then listen to me, Kevin, set your affection, exercise your mind, okay? Be like-minded, okay? And be of the same mind. That's what I want. That's what I want from headquarters today. Lord, I want to think like you. Lord, I want to be like you. You understand what I'm saying? Lord, I want to have the mind of Christ. Lord, I want to live a life of humility, okay? And yesterday, some problems took place, Lord. And Lord, I didn't do well. Please help me in this particular area. Help me to know what to say to this individual that confronted me about some things. Lord, help me with these particular things. That's what I'm coming to him for. Not come to the Lord, I'm doing good today. Lord, everything is fine. No, you coming to him because you need help. Now, here last week, I guess a couple of weeks ago, brother, I went to the jail to visit a guy and had to scan my license. And somebody, I don't know, maybe some officer would have put, somebody put tape on my license. I don't know, they were bent, they wasn't broke, but somebody, I didn't put the tape on. So my license wasn't scanned. So I said, ma'am, this is your license. She said, sir, this got scotch tape. I said, no, it's not. That's what was coming. She said, sir, I'm looking at it. So I just kind of rubbed my fingers because I didn't have my glasses. I rubbed scotch tape. Brother Murphy instead of me saying, ma'am, I apologize. You were right. I get my license and just walked off. You know, hey, are you ready for this? Lord just ate me up. Uh-huh. Now you just sought me today. Now look what you did. Yeah. Now you need to get it right. Now a week had gone by. Listen to me carefully. I don't want to help you with something. A week had gone by. Now I went by this several times since then with the right attitude, but I never did see that lady. Okay, but you didn't still seeking God because you need to get it right. You need to get right. I'm a little bit ahead of myself. You need to get it right. Are you ready for this? I saw it last week, or a couple of weeks ago. And I said, ma'am, you probably have so many people, you may not remember me. And I explained to her all it took. But I said, ma'am, I was totally wrong. Totally wrong. I said, I'm a born-again Christian, ma'am. And I said, no, I did not act like one. I said, but the Lord been eating me. You may not understand this. But I've been seeking God by saying, he's been eating me up. I need to get this straight. Said, oh, I'm sorry, it ain't nothing. I said, it is something. I got to get it right. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his what? Righteousness.
Amen.
I need to set apart for how I was acting last week, ma'am. I apologize. And she said, son, I appreciate you coming to me like that. Now, I forgive you. Is that what you want? I said, yes, ma'am. She goes, it ain't nothing. I said, man, you just don't know what it means to me. That you accept my apology, you see? And so that's what he wants you to do. Seek him first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And then all these things shall be added unto you. So we see those things now. He said first. Seek ye first. Okay? First, great commandment. See? The second, like it unto the first. You see that? Now, let's go a little further here. Here's another passage of scripture here. And in Matthew, let's back up a little bit. Chapter 5. And let's look at verse 23. Chapter 5. Let's look at verse 20. Make sure I'm right here. Verse 23, okay? And it has something to do with, you know, that our brother, okay? When I against the brother. Nobody says it. I'm just kind of jumping into it, okay? Therefore, if thou bring what? Thy gift unto the altar, and there remembrance what? That thy what?
Brother
have aught against thee. Notice what he's saying here. Now, this is reference. Now, this is an Old Testament. Now, this is reference to church, isn't it?
Yes.
It's reference to us, how we offer ourselves to the Lord. Now, notice what he says here. Leave thy gift before thine altar, and go thy ways. Now he's saying they're leaving here. Now notice what else he says here. You already ready for this? What's that next word? First, be reconciled to thy brother, and then come offer the gift.
Yeah.
Let me say something. Please, I'm not picking on anybody. We'll come to church. We'll know there's problems that we got with the brother. You, pastor, you pick a lot of stuff out. I've been to church with a husband been here and the wife on the other side of the pew, and the guy said, we ain't upset now. I said, I didn't ask, were you upset or not? But you just showed me you were, you know. But you understand, I see two ladies, or either men or whatever. You know, they're members of church, but they got out with each other. Huh? But we come to church, like we're getting everything, and you're deceiving yourself. Because the first priority is to leave the gift to the altar.
Yes.
First, be reconciling to that brother. Then.
Yeah. That's
it, brother. I heard one amen, but I know how to say it too,
amen.
Brother. Amen.
Amen.
That's right.
Yes, sir. Amen, brother.
We got a problem, don't we?
Yeah.
So he's telling you the right way to do things. We come here and say, well, you know, I'm coming here to worship. No, you ain't coming to do nothing. He said, till you first get it right, reconcile.
That's it.
Now, it's not your business if that man don't want to do it. That's a different story. That's a different boat, okay? That's a different ballpark. But he's telling you, take that first step, try to get it right. Then you come.
Amen.
Other than that, you're half-hearted.
Yes,
first. Say first again.
First. Yeah.
Y'all knew that was in the Bible, didn't you?
Oh, yeah.
Yes, sir. But it's a priority. The preeminent one said it. It's even written in red.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Hear some people, well, I don't know what Jesus said that. Oh, yeah. It's not in red. It's in red.
He said it.
He said it.
Yeah.
Even in black, he said it.
Yeah.
But I don't want you to see that. He said it.
Yes.
Now, he's not giving you no excuse. Well, I know you're coming to worship me now. And I know you don't worry about that. You take care of that whenever.
Yeah.
That ain't what he said.
First.
You leave that gift at the altar.
Yep.
First, be reconciling that brother. Then you come. You see the order?
Yeah.
Huh?
Amen.
Leave. First. Then.
Amen.
That's afterwards. Amen. That ain't before. Amen. You see that? But our priorities, we do the things what we think we want to do first.
Yes, that's it.
Well, you know, that's his problem. I'm going to go serve God anyway. Mm-mm. You think you are. Now, y'all looking at me real strange. I'm just reading my Bible. Hold on. Hey, I don't ever come back here, man. I tell you. Y'all might say, well, he's the first one going to leave here today. Leave here, amen.
Preach it, brother.
I'm just trying to help you. Listen, I'm laughing because I'm going to tell you the Lord has eaten me up too.
Oh, yeah. Amen, brother. Good. Great work on all of
them,
correct?
Hey, true.
Now, notice. Let's give you another one here. Okay? Because of time, let's go over to chapter 7. And we'll spend a little time here. Look at verse 3 through 5. We can start at 1. Just a little thought at 1. He said, judge not, that ye be not judged, right? Well, with the judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what a measure of meat, it shall be measured to you again. Now, notice what he says in verse 3. And why beholdest thou, demote, and I understand the group of people who he's talking to. But the same applies to us now. Because they was hypocrites. Those people are outside, but the Christian ought to live a high standard life. He's different. But notice what he's saying. These are pretenders here. But notice when we pretend as well. Notice what he says here. He's somebody that mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considers not the beam that is in thy own eye. Oh, how would thou say unto thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and beholdest a beam is in thy own. Now, I'm going to help you with this in a minute here. He said, thy hypocrite. What's that next word?
First.
Say it again.
First.
Cast out the beam out of thine own eye,
and then thou shalt see clearly to cast out what? The mote out of thy brother's eye. You see the word first again?
First.
So who judged first?
Yep.
Yourself.
Yep. Amen.
See, this guy here had a little mote versus a beam. A little mote, it can be anything, but it's something real tiny. A little speck. Or even a little piece of lint that's on the coat. You mean they can spot, and you're judging, you spot everything. But you know what God is saying about him? He said, you're judging him with that mote, but you got that whole beam. He said, you can't see nothing.
Yes.
Then he said, first, cast that beam out of your eye.
That's it.
Then you can see to take the little meat, the little thing here that was in his eye. You'll see clearly. But here's the key here. When you judge yourself first, when you see you fall so short with God, you ain't got no room to judge him with that little mote. You're going to see clearly. You say, man, my sin. Otherwise, God said, your sin way bigger than his. He can see a little bit. You can't see at all. That's what he's saying. Isn't that the way we judge people? And James said, every time we judge somebody with evil thought, we'll never judge righteous. So he's telling us, guess what? First judge yourself. Is that a hypocrite? See, he's telling us, you know, Christians can be hypocrites too. Y'all understand that? That's a play acting, something that you really not. I'm not saying that you lost and you don't have your salvation. A Christian, every one of us can be play actors.
Right.
Something that we really not. Every one of us can.
Yeah.
And us, please, and I know a lot of times we put it on ladies. No, us men, y'all ready for this? Us men, we do more gossip than y'all do. But we spiritualize ours. Hey, brother, I need you to pray for so-and-so. We start out with prayer. Am I right? Come on, man. Y'all don't want to agree with me. Uh-huh. Yeah. Oh, we spiritualize. Oh, don't lay ain't number gospel. No, we gospel way more than y'all do. But see, I was spiritualized, brother. Hey, brother, I need you to pray for Mike Kelly. And then you go condescending from there on down. But it's in a matter of prayer. God said, you're a hypocrite. Thank you, sister. You know, but we talk about, well, you know, he need to do this and do that. You know what he did, man? Man, there's no way in the world I'd do something like that. Man, I jumped on him about that. And so the Lord said, you did? How many of us jump on ourselves? That's what he's saying. You jump on yourself first. You jump on yourself, you ain't got no room for nobody else. And you know what, my mom, she got, my mom, she with the Lord now, but we trust the Lord all the same day, my mom, my wife, and myself. Before mom was even saved, you know what, people go talking about people, kids and all. You know what my mom said? She said, I got three of my own, and they're capable of doing anything yours doing.
I said, yes, sir.
She said, I'll take care of my own. I ain't worried about them.
That's right.
She said, I ain't got no room to talk. And see, when we do judge people, when our time comes, when the judge is the door to judge us, we can't handle it. A lot of us, we backslide, we turn from God, don't we? Because it's more than what we can handle. We think, we understand. God says, the same measure now, you're going to get it. So, otherwise, you know what he's telling us? James talks about the tongue. Otherwise, he's telling you, shut your mouth. Now, say it again. Shut up. That's what he's telling us to do. Shut up. You heard the old saying, if you ain't going to say nothing good about anybody, don't say nothing at all.
Yeah.
And if you don't watch it, you know, please, not my wife, and I don't even hear her defend herself. She's really not. But she okay with me saying this. Sometimes we go on, we try to practice, stay. I get to say something. No, I better shut up. I better not say nothing. Lord help me. She said, well, you thought about it. Well, you might as well say it now. That's the itchy part. You might as well say it. No, I might as well say nothing. I better shut up, okay? And now it's in ears. Say something. Hey, brother, now I better shut up. Oh, brother, ain't nothing. I won't say nothing about it. No. You just itching to hear, you know? And I say, look, I'm trying to do it. I got another friend that we talk all the time. And but before the phone conversation over, we talk about, hey, brother, man, I'm trying to get away from that. Man, I'm going to get judged big time. I better stay away from that. Well, brother, you know, you might well. I said, no, brother, I ain't saying nothing else now. And you know what I do, brother? This is what I hate to say. So you know what I do? Sometimes I call and answer the phone. I know we're going to be talking about somebody. So I'm trying to restrain myself. No, I ain't answer the phone. I know what we're going to get. I know what we're going to get caught up into. You know? So I stay away from it. Y'all hit, now I'm saying things we laugh about. I'm serious about it. Practice how to do what's right.
Amen.
A decision to be made. If it comes from not answering the telephone, knowing what I'm going to do, whatever, wait till God gets you prepared for some things like that. You understand that?
That's right.
That's the flesh love that stuff. But what I'm talking to you about is spiritual things, how things, different, that has got to be done through the Spirit of God.
Amen.
So he's telling us before you go out judging, you better take care of yourself.
Yes, sir.
Am I, you ready for this? We do less when it's judging ourselves. You know why? And you're not going to say this, but deep down inside, we all right.
Hey.
Huh?
Yes.
How many go out just like, well, try this. Try gossiping about yourself just as well as you gossip about somebody else. Huh? You think I'm going to do that? What? But you understand. You know, we better move. This has nothing to do, but I try my best to be. Some stupid stuff I've done, you know, at work and whatever. There's just silly stuff. And I'll tell on myself. People, man, I wouldn't tell nobody nothing like that. I tell you, I went to a service station one day. I was going to work, brother, running late. And I'm putting gas in my car. And I'm thinking, I'm filling this thing up, man. I'm just pumping and pumping. I said, man, something wrong here. Something wrong. So I'm thinking I'm filling the tank up, brother. This early that morning. I just see people on safety. I got up the road. You ready for this, brother? I'm looking at my little seat. I put 26 cents on the gas in my car. No, my needle hadn't moved. Man, I wouldn't tell nobody that. I said, hey, man, I did it. You know, I laugh at myself as well as I laugh about someone else, you know. Amen. So try gossiping to others about yourself as much as you do others. But it'll stop you. I better help you know how to practice and do things right. There are some things we wouldn't dare want people to know about us. Why should we share other people's problem with other people that they don't want nobody to know about? You see where we at? Now, let me give a couple more here and we'll be done. Okay, and I'll just quote this one for you. You remember when the Lord Jesus Christ, or one of the disciples was following, he said, Lord, first let me go and bury my dad. Remember that? And then Jesus Christ said what? Let the dead bury the dead. Seemed like that was harsh. He said, follow me. What Christ is saying? He said, I am first. I am the preeminent. I am first. Follow me. He is first. Y'all understand that? Now, don't come telling me God understand when you neglect first. I'll say it again.
Yes.
It's not for God to understand. It is for you to understand. He didn't leave nothing but above one, first. He didn't leave no exceptions. He said first. Now, let me give you something else here, and then we'll be closing here. You don't have to turn here, but it's in 2 Chronicles, okay, chapter 29, 15 through 17. I have it written down, so you don't have to turn here. But notice what he says here, and I want to help you with something here that God wants us to do as well. And I mentioned even in Sunday school this morning, some of you all wasn't here. I was just mentioning about paper and whatever a little bit this morning. And he said he wants us to cleanse the inside before we cleanse the outside. The Bible says, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit. That's inside. Perfecting holiness in the fear of the Lord. But notice what he says here in this passage of scripture. Now, this is physically speaking here. Now, I want you to see this from this temple and et cetera. Now, and I want you to see this. Maybe you go home and what you want to study it out. But notice what he said here and about some cleansing here. In 2 Chronicles 29:15. He said, and they gathered their brethren and sanctified themselves, okay, and came according to the commandments of the king by the word of the Lord to cleanse the house of the Lord. You see that? They're cleansing the house of the Lord. It's a temple. We are the temple. Now, I want to give you a head start here. We are the temples of the Spirit of God, okay? Now, notice what this is saying, Nicole. This is physical, but I'm going to apply it spiritually, and we're going to quit, okay? And the priest went into, if you had the scripture, I should have had to turn. But listen, and the priest went into the inner parts. He didn't start outside cleaning it. He started on the inner part.
Right.
You see, of the house of the Lord. to cleanse it and brought out all uncleanness that they found in the temple of the Lord. In the court of the house of the Lord, okay, and the Levites took it and carried it out abroad into the brook Kidron. Now they began to the first day of the first month to sanctify on the eighth day, and on the eighth day of the month came to the porch of the Lord and outside. Okay, so they sanctified the house of the Lord in 8 days and in 16 days, and in the first month they made an end. Now notice what it said. Then the king went into Hezekiah the king. The king and said, "We have cleansed all the house of the Lord under the altar, the burnt offering, okay, with all the vessels and thereof, and the showbread and the table with all the vessels thereof. Moreover, all the vessels which King Ahaz, okay, in his reign did cast away in his transgression, have we prepared and sanctified, and behold, they are before the altar of the Lord." You know what he's saying? Now this is physical speaking. You know what happened? He said, let's clean this out. They didn't go outside and go to washing the walls and all everything outside of the building. They went inside. And they took everything that was defiled, took it outside. And the founder said, "We took care of everything." They cleansed it. And what the Lord is telling us today, you ready for this? Y'all hear me? First, I didn't get to that. First, clean the inside. And outside to take care of itself.
Right.
See, our problem, we don't have a problem looking good on the outside, do we, brother? We take care of the outside. But it's the inside. First, take care of the inside. And outside. Spiritual. This is the temporal. Spiritual. Get it taken care of. Notice all they got out of there. They didn't say, "Well, we left a couple of things there. Some of the things we just couldn't get around to." Huh? Every bit of it. Set apart. Use now. It's usable now. It's usable now. It's usable. He's telling us, clean the inside of your temples, my friend. And guess what? He said, "Then I can use you. Clean it up. I can use you." Sunday school, pull off. Take it all out. They didn't leave anything. When they presented it to the king, all that Ahaz had done, they saw it. It was done. God didn't say, "Hey, you got some more work to do. You got work to do." No, I see something else here. I see this here. Y'all understand? There's a light shining there. And say, "Hey, listen. Hey, everything is clean. Everything is clean there." Talked about this morning coming to the light, right? Fellowship and the light, okay? And then how he's going to cleanse us, you know, how son fellowship with one another, and how Christ's going to cleanse us from all. How to come to the light, guess what? He cleanses. He cleanses. He cleanses. He cleanses. He cleanses. He cleanses. He said, "Take care of the inside." One thing on the inside that ain't right defiled the whole body. The whole thing. The whole thing defiled all of it. You go out there and run that stop sign, you broke the whole law. You broke the law.
Right.
And he's telling you to take care of all of it.
Amen.
And I'm asking you today, is your priorities right? Is your priorities right? God has a priority list. I just gave it to you.
Amen.
And you ready for this? I fall short. I'm going to admit I fall short.
Amen.
You know what we do in church? We'll sit here and the Lord speak telling you. And then when somebody will come down, "I wonder what he done." Well, look at yourself again. What you didn't do. He admitted his. You didn't admit yours.
Amen.
How God going to help us? You admit it. You see the way he see it. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But guess what? Your part. See it the way he see it. Okay? Now, let me give you another priority word. Now. Somebody mentioned right now last night. Was it you? I don't know who it was. But now. Well, I'll wait next week and I'll work on that. Brother Keller, I consider that. Brother Keller, that's a good message. Man, I tell you what. I shall not be moved. That's a good song, ain't it? For us, isn't it?
I'll speak to your heart. Lord, I'll not be moved. That's good, but I ain't going nowhere. I ain't going to get it right. Oh, no. Why? Because you can put yourself first. Let me have you stand, please. I'll trust you to help to you. All heads bowed and eyes closed.